All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture and use it for my text. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And the apostle says, "But grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now the title of this message is Growing in Grace. And there is but one place to begin a message on growing in grace, and that is to state two important things. The first of which is this: there can be no growth in grace where there is no grace. Now you can just forget it. There can be no growth in grace where there is no grace. The dry bones remain dry. The dead bones remain dead unless the Spirit of God blows upon it. And there can be no spiritual growth where there's no spiritual life. It's an exercise in futility. And religious people never seem to learn this. But it's an exercise in futility to set forth rules and regulations and laws and requirements for people who do not know God. It's an impossibility to grow in grace where we have not been a partaker of grace. You can take a stone and plant it in the richest soil. You can bathe it in sunshine. You can water it every day, and it will not grow. It's a stone. But a plant which has life, even a seed which has life, the tiniest of plants, will grow. And the richer the soil, and the more sunshine and rain, the more it'll grow. And that brings me to the second important thing. The first one is this: there can be no growth in grace where there's no grace. There can be no growth in the knowledge of Christ where a man has not met Christ. But the second thing is this: if there is grace present, and if life has been given by God, there definitely will be growth. Anything that lives grows. It does not stand still. It grows. If it has life, it grows. Anything that has life grows. But the amount of growth depends on three things. The first of which is this: if I desire to grow in grace, I must first recognize my need for growth in grace. I need to grow. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and listen to the Apostle Paul. Here is the old white-haired veteran preacher of the gospel. Here he is in prison in Rome, writing to the church at Philippi. And this is what he says. He says, in essence, the same thing that John Newton said: I'm not satisfied with me. John Newton said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I expect to be. I need growth. And that's what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3, verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect in doctrine. By no means. I'm not perfect in deed. I'm not perfect in thought nor spirit. I'm not perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, and that word is lay hold, that I may lay hold upon that for which also I have been laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, here I am, a veteran of years, a man of great gifts, a man of great revelations, a man who was taken into the third heaven. But he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't understand everything. I'm not an example for everybody, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I need to grow. I need to grow. And as long as I live, I'll recognize a need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Turn to 2 Peter again, chapter 1. This was read tonight in the study, and it fits so well right here on this particular point. Assuming that there is grace, assuming that there is spiritual life, the amount of growth depends, first of all, on recognizing a need for growth. Recognizing a need. And this certainly lets us know that we need to grow. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. There's some things to be added. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Add these things. That's growth, isn't it? For if these things be in you, if these things be added to your faith, if you grow in these things and abound in these things, overflow in these things, and make you that you shall neither be barren, idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that watcheth, he that lacketh these things, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, he that lacketh these things is blind. He can't see very far. And he hath forgotten something, that he's purged from his old sins. Not only do I have a need to grow, but if I'm going to grow, there's got to be a desire to grow. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Our Lord said something about willing to do the will of God. He said something, James said something about desiring wisdom. It's recognizing my need and then sincerely wanting growth. I want to grow. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Here in Luke 17, now listen to this. Now here are the two things I've been talking about, seeing a need and having a desire. All right? If you're going to grow, you've got to see the need of growth. I've got to see the need of growth, and I've got to want to grow. In Luke 17:3, listen. This is the Master speaking. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. But if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you 7 times a day, he agitates you 7 times a day. He aggravates you 7 times a day. And 7 times in a day, turn again to you saying, I'm sorry, I repent, I didn't do you right. Forgive him. What do apostles reply to that? They said, Lord, increase our faith. When he set that before them, when he set brother to love before them, that kindness, that forgiveness, that mercy, and his requirement, forgive him 7 times a day. 70 times 7, he said to Peter. What they recognized? A need. And what did this say? Increase our faith. They desired it. They recognized that what he was saying here, they could not produce, but they wanted to. Lord, increase our faith. And then thirdly, I must employ the means for spiritual growth. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. What are the means? Well, we know this faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we grow in grace? How do we grow in the knowledge of Christ? I tell you, through the reading of the word, through the preaching of the word of God. This is the way we grow, doing exactly what we're doing right now. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1, listen. Wherefore, laying aside all anger, malice, and all guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, as newborn babes, as children of God, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. This is the way we grow. Studying the word of God, reading the word of God, letting the word of God rebuke us and reprove us and convict us and strengthen us and instruct us and comfort us. Turn to Ephesians 4. This is the purpose for a pastor too. Pastors and teachers and elders. Listen to Ephesians 4 verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, missionaries, and some he gifted to be pastors and teachers for the perfecting, for the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the teaching of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that completeness that's found in him. Till we come to that completeness, maturity, that would be no more, verse 14, children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. There's the word, that we may grow up. Grow up into him in all things, who is our head, even Jesus Christ. Mr. Spurgeon wrote this on this subject. He said, he who truly knows Jesus Christ will always long to know him better. And he will long to grow in his likeness. And he who longs not to know more of Christ knows nothing of Christ yet. He who longs not to know more of Christ knows nothing of him yet. And he who longs not to be more like Christ in his conversation and conduct is not yet one whit like Christ. I found this little poem I thought was so good. Lord, I want to live as one who knows the fellowship of your love, as one whose eyes can see beyond just pearly gates above. Does that register? Lord, I want to live as one who knows the fellowship of your love now, as one whose eyes can see beyond just pearly gates above, as one who daily walks with thee and loves thy word divine, and through all my remaining days at your table, let me dine. Let deep humility and faith and love be joined in me with godly fear, and all my conversation prove my heart and love to thee is sincere. All right, what is it to grow in grace and to mature spiritually? Well, I know this, faith. One time a preacher preached here, and he said that when a person believed on Christ, he said, that's it. There's no increasing faith. If you believe, you believe. If you don't believe, you don't believe. But there's no increase. I beg to differ with that. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of what? Little faith and great faith. Did he not? And let me ask you this. Is there not a difference in the trembling faith of the centurion who said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, and the faith of Job who said, though he slay me, I'll trust him? Is there not a difference in that faith? Is there not a difference in the faith of the blind man who said, the blind man who was made whole, who said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Paul, who said, I know whom I have believed. Is there not a difference? Both believed. But I guarantee you, Paul's faith, when he wrote those words, I know whom I have believed, is far stronger and greater than that man who said, well, who is he that I may believe? There's a difference in the faith of Peter, who sat by the fire and denied his Lord, and the man who wrote these words I just read. Is that not true? There's a difference. And I sure hope there's a difference in the faith of the man who stands before you now, growing white-headed and looking at the setting sun, than the young pastor who stood here at 29 years of age almost 40 years ago. I hope there's a difference. Faith grows. And I'll show you how faith grows. First, and faith grows on the Word. It grows on a diet of the Word of God. There's no other way. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. These precious promises, Cecil, you read about, the precious faith, the precious blood, the precious Word, these things, this Word, that's how you grow in faith. But faith grows several ways. First, it grows in confidence. Grows in confidence. I am persuaded that he is able. And I believe the more I learn about him, the more I'll be persuaded that he is able. Abraham believed that God was able to do all that he promised. That's confidence. And Paul stood one day on the deck of a ship and looked around about him at these experienced seamen, these experienced mariners. They were panicking. They were troubled. They were throwing things over the side. They were getting ready themselves to jump over the side of that ship. And here's a man who certainly wasn't a sailor. He was a lot of things, but he wasn't a sailor. But he stood on that deck of that ship and he said, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be exactly as he told me. That's confidence. That's how faith grows in confidence. And secondly, faith grows in peace, contentment, rest. The more we believe God, the less alarmed we'll be when the winds of error blow about us. You know, I find this confessing to you my own experience. I find this. I know I run into some of you, and you hear some preacher on television, he just upsets you something off. You just get plumb out of shape, bent all out of shape. And I understand that, but I believe this, the more you grow in faith, the more that won't bother you. The more that won't bother you. The more confident a man becomes in what he believes, in whom he believes, the less upset he'll become with the error about him. That's right. He just becomes confident. Confident. He becomes confident in trials. It's going to be all right. God has control of all things. When the winds of adversity blow, it's all right. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Believe it? Do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it up here. Yeah. Well, when it gets down here, it'll have the real effect upon you that it ought to when it gets down here. Up here, it leaves you to spout off and spin off and everything else. But when it gets down here, it enables you to rest. It'll be all right. So faith grows that way. It grows. And this is what I want you to hear, too. And this may sound strange to you, but I don't believe it will to most of you. Faith grows in confidence. Faith grows in strength. Faith grows in contentment. Faith grows in peace and rest. But as faith grows, it grows in simplicity. Simplicity. What I'm saying is this. And you know, to say something grows and matures and develops, and yet it becomes more simple and less complicated, that's a bit confusing. You know, when a person knows more about math, the less you can understand him. The more a person knows about trigonometry or some of the science, medicine, the more degrees a doctor has, the less you can understand him. But the more a man grows in faith, the more simple becomes his confession, and the more simple becomes his preaching, and the more simple becomes his confession of faith. What did Paul say? He didn't give them some rhetoric on faith. He said, "Sirs, I believe God." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to this. That's right. The more faith grows, the more knowledge and understanding of the Lord God grows, the more simple becomes its expression. The less complicated our worship, the less complicated our organization. That's right. I went to hold a meeting for a preacher one time down in Florida years and years ago, and he had organized a church. And he and his members had spent 6 to 10 months drawing up a constitution. They had three families. They had a constitution that was as thick as a Ashland telephone book. They had worked for months on how to take people in, how to vote them out, how to elect officers, how to elect deacons, how to elect elders, how to do this, how to do that, where you could go, where you couldn't go, how many services you could miss, still be a member, how to conduct the... They had all of that figured out. And the pastor handed me that thing, and he said, "I want you to read that and tell me what you think about it." I just glanced through it. He said, "What do you think?" I held it over the waste can and dropped it. 6 months' work. Right into the waste can. I said, "I tell you, when you worship God and preach the gospel and fellowship in the things of God, this is all you need. This is all you need. And the longer you know him, the less complicated your organization, the less complicated your bylaws, the less complicated your worship, and the less complicated your preaching. It'll be Christ. And even the little children can understand you. He loved me and gave himself for me. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God." Preaching's communication. If you're not communicating, you're not preaching. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul's great, one of his great fears was this: "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ." That's right. As faith grows, it grows in simplicity. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Somebody said, "Write me a paper on the hope of glory." Christ in you. "Write me a paper on life, eternal life." When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. As faith grows, it becomes less complicated, less intellectual, less involved, less organized, less talk, less rhetoric, and more confidence in Christ. Believe in God, I wait on God, I rest in God, I find all I need in Christ. Something else that'll grow besides faith is love. Do I need to love more? Do I? Do you? I'll give you one verse that'll prove you do. One verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. Now, do I need to grow in love? You love one another as I love you. Woo! That's the reason Paul said, my little children, I travail till Christ be formed in you and in me. We ask the Lord to love us as we are. Don't we? If he loves me at all, he'll have to love me like I am. It takes us a little while to love others as they are, doesn't it? But let's don't quit. Let's grow in love. Huh? I tell you this, I found this written somewhere, as love grows, as it grows and expands, it leaves less and less room for malice. Bigger love, the less room for it. It leaves less room for malice and envy and jealousy and hard feeling. I tell you something else that'll grow. And that's this thing of humility and contentment. I know there have been a lot of jokes about humility, but it's no laughing matter. God resisteth the proud. He give grace to the humble. Scripture says seven things God hates. The first one listed is a proud look. Paul said in Romans 12, brethren, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think soberly. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, grow in humility. So much of our difficulty with other people, it's not for the glory of God. Most of our understandings are not for the glory of God. Most of them are not for the cause of God and truth. Most of them are just our silly pride. That's where it is. And I read something here. You probably heard me give this years ago. You know, this applies to me. I'm getting nearer and nearer to the end of the journey. I'd sure like to grow old gracefully, wouldn't you? I'd like to mature. Let me read this to you. This is anonymous. Author unknown. Lord, you know better than I know myself that I'm getting older and will one day be quite old. Keep me from that fatal habit of thinking that I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to try to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me a thoughtful person, but not moody. Make me a helpful person, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou, Lord, knowest that I want a few friends at the end of the journey. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. And Lord, seal my lips on my aches and pains. They're increasing every day, and the love of telling about them grows sweeter as the years go by. I dare not ask for grace to enjoy the stories of other people, but help me to listen to them with patience. I dare not ask for improved memory, But I ask for a growing humility and a less cocksureness when my memory clashes with somebody else's memory. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be wrong. Isn't that something? And keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be overly pious. Some of those people are awful hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see things, good things, in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people, and give me the grace to tell them so. Isn't that good? I need to grow. But you know something? Turn back to my text. Let me try to be brief here. Turn back to my text. In 2 Peter 3, it says here in verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. In other words, all growth in grace is centered in growing in the knowledge of Christ. Did you know that? The more I know of Him, His person and His work and His grace, the more I'll grow in grace. You know why? Because He said, you love one another as I love you. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Our Lord said to His disciples, if I've washed your feet, you ought to wash His feet. He's the example. He says, forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, as I learn, as I grow in a knowledge of Christ Jesus, then I'm going to grow in grace. Let me give you an illustration. Turn to Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, here's an illustration in this matter of growth. I'll be through in a moment, but let me show you this. In Psalm 1, this matter of growing in grace. It says here in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord. And in the word of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God compares this believer, this child of God, to a tree planted by a flowing stream of water. How does a tree grow? A tree grows three ways. Did you know that? Three ways. It grows upward. It grows upward, reaching toward God. It grows downward, planting its root deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'll tell you, after a while, you couldn't move it. Sometimes some trees will even wrap their roots around a rock. It grows downward, deeper and deeper. It grows out. It grows up toward God. It grows down deeper, planting its roots deeper and deeper and deeper. And it grows outward to give shade to the weary traveler. And in Galatians, don't turn to it, but you know it by memory, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, three things, love, joy, peace. That's toward God. Growing in love, joy, and peace. And the second three is patience, gentleness, and kindness. Come find shade under me. Let me be a help to you as you travel along your road and give you some fruit. And it grows, thirdly, downward, faith, humility, and temperance. That's growing. And that's the way believers grow. Upward toward God. Outward
faithfully to minister to others. And it becomes that little old sapling, just, it's a little bit precarious, you know, but that old oak, just, if you leave it there a while and I shall not be moved. Got those roots deep. I wrote some questions. I wrote these to myself, but I'll share them with you. Don't you say I gave you these talking to you. I'm talking to me. You can listen in if you want to. But here's some questions that help me to know and recognize spiritual growth in me. They may be a guide to growth. Quickly, here they are. Number one, have I really learned to wait upon the Lord and rest in Him? Number two, how do I react to trial and disappointment? It's a test of growth. Thirdly, how do I respond to correction? Teaching and correction. Mature believers are always learning, always being corrected by the Word. They don't get angry when you correct them. Fourthly, do I have the capacity to change, or am I so set in my ways and personality that I can't change? But I'll tell you, growth is change. And growth is change for the better, or it's not growth. Can I change? Fifthly, is it difficult for me to use words like I'm sorry? I was wrong. Is that difficult? They're just hard to come out, you know. They just... Number six, do I compliment more lately or criticize more? As I get a little older, do I compliment more or do I criticize and find fault and more? Which do I do the most of? Number seven, can I keep long friendships? That's a pretty good test to maturity, if a person can keep long friendships. Eight, do I find greater satisfaction in giving or receiving? Which gives me the most delight, giving or receiving? In the ninth place, has my appetite for the Word of God increased? And the last one, honestly, do I really love the Lord and His people?